We're actually just going to play this for the entire broadcast. This is it.
I'm totally in.
And welcome to episode 2 of The Dig. I'm Spencer Witt, Sam Anthony alongside me. Sam, how you doing today?
Well, I mean, some Boston's playing here in the studio. More than a feeling, one of my favorites. I'm in a pretty good mood.
I feel like you played Boston for a specific reason.
Well, you know, the Red Sox did win the ALDS last night. I know that's not what this is about, but big-time Red Sox fan, very excited.
Of course, all things volleyball is what this is about, or
that's
at least
right.
We try.
I mean, we did talk about, what, performing and singing last time,
well,
too?
Oh, we still need those 100, what is it, 100 downloads?
Yeah, we need 100 downloads.
100 downloads.
I don't know if we're going to get there.
I don't even know where we're at now, to be honest. I didn't look.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want 100 downloads on one episode.
Yeah.
Because, like, eventually we'll get there, right?
I don't know about that.
Be at 10 every episode. You know, you'd be surprised, all right? People will listen to this. We're, you know, we're experts.
We are experts. If you listen to us. What do you think people listen to us to, or listen to that? Is it the gym you think the biggest thing?
I was thinking the gym. I was hoping that maybe like they're getting like a jog in the morning and they're listening to like you and me chatting up about some women's volleyball. I mean, that's what I'd do. Do you ever listen to podcasts where you like run or anything?
It's actually funny. I've never listened to a podcast all the way through before even doing this.
Really?
I don't listen to podcasts. I usually just listen to music.
But yet you're on a podcast,
yeah.
Which is really kind of funny, actually.
It is kind of funny. I mean, the big thing that... For me, it was just like they asked me to do it, and I was like, all right, sure. But, yeah, I've never really listened to a podcast. I'm more of a music kind of guy when you do, like, any athletic stuff.
You know, that's fair. I listen to podcasts when I walk to class, on a side note.
Really?
Yeah.
I always wonder what you listen to because you always have headphones in.
I mean, always do.
Yeah, and I've always wondered. You got
those wireless
ones? Yeah. Bluetooth ones. Those are nice. They look nice.
$20 at Amazon.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they that good? Are they worth $20?
Yeah, the battery life's incredible. It'll go like for days.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
We'll go back to our volleyball here real quick.
I mean, I guess that's probably good. Just quickly?
Just quickly.
All right,
only quickly.
Cool. I got a lot to talk about. So.
So in the week that was for Robert Morris Volleyball, they played on Friday and Saturday. It was homecoming weekend.
It was very exciting. A lot of things going on.
Sam and I were both at the first game against St. Francis Brooklyn.
It was a good match for Robert Morris. I think that's the most important thing is that they looked phenomenal. Besides that third set, and we can get more into that in a little bit, but they won in four sets. They won the first two, and they looked. I mean, through those first two sets, it really felt like they were going to get their first sweep of the season. Unfortunately, they again looked pretty bad in that third set, but seemed to find it again in that fourth set, and they got that big conference victory, which again. I feel like St. Francis Brooklyn was a must-win. It's a team that isn't very good. You're expected to go and win that game and not keep it close either, which they didn't. They looked good in both those sets. I feel like the first two, and then in that last set, they looked great.
So Robert Morris got their first conference win. They won 3-1, 25-20, 25-22, 25-14, or 14-25, excuse me. St. Francis won that third set. And in the fourth, they won 25-17. Taylor Lord had the most kills for Robert Morris with 16. Emma Granger had 10, and Emily Devlin had 7 on the other side. Vanya Milicic had 14, and Allie Spreewijk had 9.
See, I think the biggest thing with that was, one, seeing players like Taylor Lord really step it up. She had a season-high 16 kills. I thought that was huge in terms of the fact that one, I think Taylor Lord's great. I've loved Taylor Lord because she was there my freshman year when she was a freshman. And she dominated. Her and Arden Fisher and Leah Donovan and April Kravonik all led that team to an NCAA tournament appearance. And that was just such a great year, and she performed so well. And she's really, I mean, in terms of experience on that team, the only one with an NCAA tournament appearance, the only one that's seen a win in a conference tournament. Because the last 2 years they've gone, and actually the 2 years ago they didn't even make the conference. The year after that they lost in the first round. So... seeing her perform well, I think it's good to set that example for players like Emma Granger, for you know, these younger freshmen that are coming in.
Yeah, definitely. I think the big thing is the experience, the leadership for Taylor Lord. And it kind of shows on the court. You can see a lot of it from Taylor Lord. She always usually takes initiative, I think, is the big thing. They set her the ball a lot, especially she's one of the few players that they have back row attacks. So But sometimes Coach Dale Starr will just put him in or put her in the back row, and she'll just attack from the back row, and then they'll put either Lawn Dot or somebody else or Hudak in the front row as well. So. Yeah.
And, you know, again, having a big, tall player like Emma Granger, that her strength isn't only her ability to, you know, bring power to that lineup, but also to be kind of a distraction, is really great for players like Taylor Lord, because there's a lot of times you're going to fake it to Granger and then get it to a player like Taylor Lord, maybe like an Allison Lawn Dot, and, you know, again, using that as a decoy, I think is super beneficial to all these players.
It's kind of like the comparison in like baseball, where the big cleanup hitter, if you pitch around them, you're stuck having to pitch to a 4 or 5 hitter who might, you know, you're going to have to give them decent pitches, and
exactly,
and they'll definitely perform well. And I think that's the same for Robert Morris. You know, you have to watch for Emma Granger all the time. You kind of leave the outsides a little late on blocks and stuff like that, and it gives them better opportunities.
Yeah, and I know you kind of mentioned this during our broadcast on Friday, and I think this is a good time to mention that too as well, is you can do that because this team has so much depth. There's a lot of players on this team that you can really sort of interchange, because think about a player like Allison Lawn Dot. Allison Lawn Dot is very talented, but you actually didn't see Allison Lawn Dot a lot on Friday. And that's just because, again, there's so much talent. So you're almost, if you're Dale Starr, you're almost going with, what have you done for me lately? And as soon as someone starts to struggle, you just bring someone else in. I know that hasn't necessarily translated into wins in conference, but as this conference season goes on and you start to see players get more worn down, that might be where Robert Morris, especially if they're probably going to be fighting for that last spot in the conference tournament, that's where they'll have the edge.
And that's something I think Robert Morris, we'll talk a little bit about getting down to the wire here a little later on. That's something that if you're Robert Morris, like we said before, a good victory, something that they needed. So then they took on LIU Brooklyn Saturday evening at 5 o'clock.
Ooh.
That game was during homecoming. It was right after the football team had lost to Central Connecticut. And it was the same story a little bit for Robert Morris. They lost 3-1 to LIU Brooklyn, who is 9-6 overall, 6-0 in the conference. Robert Morris dropped to 1-4. They lost 25-20, 25-22, 19-25. RMU actually took the third set, and then 25-22 in the fourth one. LIU Brooklyn finished it out. Cora Sharble had 11 kills for the Blackbirds. Emma Granger had 15, and Allison Lawn Dot had 11 for Robert Morris.
And see, again, the interesting thing I see about this match is really the only players that had any sort of impact were Granger and Lawn Dot. That was it. Taylor Lord had 6 kills, but also 6 errors. And again, same with Granger and Lawn Dot, where a lot of kills, but also a high number of errors. There wasn't anyone really with a super high hitting percentage that was consistently involved in the offense. You have Whitney Brown with a .500 hitting percentage, but she had 4 kills. You know, that's not her role, is to get in the action in terms of offensively.
I think the big thing that we're looking at from the stats is that LIU Brooklyn really didn't dominate necessarily when it comes to like hitting. The figures for them, they had a .029 hitting percentage in the first set, .114. They had 0 hitting percentage, which means that they actually weren't even able to break more kills than they had attack errors. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, they had a .077 hitting percentage. So they didn't really like dominate on the front.
No.
As much as you had thought from their team.
Yeah. No, and to me, what that screams is mistakes by Robert Morris. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it hurts more when you beat yourself, Spencer. And that is a little bit of the youth showing. Again, we both know this, that there's a lot of sophomores and a lot of freshmen on this team. There's 2 seniors. So, and, you know, you have to feel the pressure of that big matchup. LIU Brooklyn came into this undefeated, still being undefeated now. Robert Morris came into this with just 1 conference win and really, really badly needing this one to go and sweep for a weekend and be confident and to come out of that not only getting just 1, but actually, you know, getting your first weekend sweep in conference.
So then they, after losing to LIU Brooklyn, they actually played on Tuesday at Duquesne, all the way down half an hour away, a big drive for them.
Yeah, big road trip.
They lost 3-0. They got swept 27-25, 32-30 in a second set, which is a long one, and then 25-17 in the third set. We had seen Duquesne earlier in the year, they were at the RMU Sheraton Invitational.
And Duquesne didn't look good.
No, that was the big thing that I thought too. They were probably I would say they're arguably the worst team here. Them and Eastern Michigan were the two teams that like were at the bottom.
And I think we discussed that last week as well, was the fact that Duquesne didn't look very impressive. But yet, yeah, I mean, the first two sets were tight, and I think you lose that last one,
yeah,
that second set after, you know, 32-30, and you're just gassed. And
yeah,
you know, going five sets. So that was just kind of like a, you know, you gave it all. But it's just, I mean, that's tough. It is, because realistically, the way Robert Morse played in that RMU Invitational, they looked so much better than Duquesne against all of the same opponents that Duquesne played. And you're so confident about Robert Morse going into conference play. And really right now, since that RMU Invitational, has been one win. They've been 1-5. That's, I mean, you have to start worrying a little bit. And this weekend went the way I expected it to, Spencer.
Yeah.
It really did. Duquesne was the one that makes me, because I was like, all right, you know what, Robert Morse, they won the one they were supposed to, and they won it well. You know, they're going to go look over that third set. They're going to fix those issues. LIU Brooklyn's going to be tough no matter what, especially, you know, going the very next day. I mean, if I had a preference, I would have rather played LIU Brooklyn first, because then, you know, you would have been, I guess you would have been more rested, theoretically, for that weekend trip. But, again, falling, you gotta get those wins. I mean, something, they need a big win. They need a statement win. And beating LIU Brooklyn would have been a statement win. Your best bet now is when Central Connecticut and Bryant come to play. A weekend sweep of that would be a statement. And I think that would effectively put Robert Morse back in the conversation. A lot needs to happen before that point.
A big time. And I think the big thing, though, something that you might argue for Robert Morse, was that just looking at their stats and who had the top leaders for them, Alyssa Hudak had 8 kills, Emily Devin with 7, Mirna Sarjanovic. That's not the names you usually see from Robert Morse at the top.
No.
That's a lot of younger players. That's 2 freshmen and a sophomore. The thing I could see, Maria Alfano said 6 blocks. So, like, we didn't even see Emma Granger on the top for blocks.
No.
I think maybe Dale Starr went with, like, let's get our players some rest to get the younger players a bit more experience. So, I mean, from one sense, yeah, you definitely wanted to win, but at what cost, really? I mean, that could have just been one of those games where they're just trying to play, and it really, the score doesn't matter because it's non-conference. You're not looking at the NEC conference. It's kind of stupid, in my opinion, to play these non-conference games smack dab in the middle of the NEC because you're focused on the NEC. I mean, I guess it's a bit of a break, but at the same time, you really don't think about these games.
And then in terms of, like, rest as well, I mean, playing a match is totally different than a practice. And I think you're right to this extent that I think that you're right. I think Dale Starr looked at this matchup and was like, all right, like, this is good to get, you know, maybe work on some things that we need to work on for the upcoming weekend. You know, that would, to me, that seems like the best thought. You have Fairleigh Dickinson and you have Sacred Heart coming up, and Fairleigh Dickinson is another team similar to St. Francis Brooklyn, where it's a must win. They're a team that you should beat theoretically every time. The hard thing with this is, again, the long road trip, going to New Jersey, going to Connecticut. So this is a big weekend. So I think, I don't know exactly what Dale Starr is thinking, why he did certain things, but I think you have a very valid point in this is a must-win weekend. And so working on those things and maybe getting some people in and trying some new stuff wasn't necessarily a bad idea, especially against a Duquesne team that maybe, you know, isn't as great.
Yeah, so like you mentioned before, right now they just, like you said, October 12th of Friday, they play at 5 p.m. at Fairleigh Dickinson. Fairleigh Dickinson is 2-17, 0-5 in the conference.
Contender,
that's,
if you ask me.
That's,
you know,
a big game. You have to win that. I mean, if you're Robert Morse, you have to win that. There's no question.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, to me, if you go in and you lose that Fairleigh Dickinson game, I mean, again, it's not statistically you're not out, but in my opinion, they're done. There's no way that you have the confidence, the momentum to go and win, to just get that fourth spot. I just don't think, and I think they'd be so far out that there'd be too much that they would have to do to get back. Because, again, that following weekend's Central Connecticut and Bryant at home. So falling, and let's say they split that and then they lose to CCSU and Bryant again, I mean, you're done. So you need something to give you confidence going in, and that starts with Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah, and so you play Fairleigh Dickinson 0-5, 2-17. The next day, they take on Sacred Heart at 4 p.m. October 13th. That's at Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart 3-2 on the conference, 10-6 overall. They are smack dab in the middle of fourth. They are the team on the bubble right now. If everything stood today, they'd be the last team in the conference tournament.
And then again, same point there is they're a team that's going to stand in your way, especially if you're thinking, hey, Robert Morris is going to probably need to win a tiebreaker to potentially get that fourth spot. Sacred Heart, a win there. It starts you off. It starts you off on that right path that you're like, hey, we need to, you know, be competitive there. Because again, if let's say they win out this weekend, Robert Morris goes to 3-4, they're going to be at least just a game behind Sacred Heart now. And you start that climb back. And that's got to be the target right now. I'm not saying they should sit here and say, let's try and win the NEC. And that's a great mentality to have because it should be the expectations to win the NEC. But right now, you're competing for a chance to win the NEC tournament. That is the most important thing.
Yeah, it's really one game at a time, though. You can't overlook FDU. FDU, I believe, they put up a pretty good fight against Robert Morris last year at home. I'm not exactly sure what the score of that one is. I might look real quick from last year. But it was a lot closer than I had thought. It was either at home or on the way. I don't remember which one. But FDU, for some reason, just gave them a lot of fits, and they were the last team in the conference last year as well. So,
no, Robert Morris right now, they don't have the right to overlook anybody either. And they're not in a position where, you know, like an LIU Brooklyn would be in a position where if you were playing a Fairleigh Dickinson, you could look ahead to a bigger matchup because LIU Brooklyn has the room to take a loss right now. LIU Brooklyn still undefeated. They're 6-0 right now in the NEC. And, I mean, they've essentially solidified themselves a spot. I mean, a lot would have to go wrong for LIU Brooklyn to miss the NEC tournament.
Yeah, Robert Morris took on Fairleigh Dickinson September 30th at home last year. They won 3-0, but the sets were a little closer than they probably should have been. 26-24 the first set. They cruised in the second set 25-16, but then 25-23 in the third one. So, again, that was a FDU team that was coming in winless as well on the conference, and they almost took the upset at home, or at Robert Morris's home.
Just, you know, and that's the thing, is sometimes the bounces don't go your way, but you have to be ready for that. You have to adjust to whatever is happening that day. So, yeah, I mean, Robert Morris can't overlook anybody.
So if you look ahead real quickly, like you said before, so after this weekend, you think you got to win both, right?
100%. 100%. You have to win both.
And then you take on Central Michigan. Or not Central, I was looking.
Central Connecticut.
I was looking at Central Connecticut, excuse me. Yeah, I just saw Michigan before, Eastern Michigan. You take on Central Connecticut, which is one of the top teams in the NEC. They're second at 5-1.
Yep.
And then you take on Bryant, which is 4-2 in the NEC. They're third.
I think you got to at least split that. Yeah. I'm not saying you got to go, but again, when we're talking about statement wins, a win against one of those top three teams is a statement win because it shows that you are going to, because odds are, if Robert Morris makes it into the NEC tournament, you're facing an LIU, you're facing a CCSU, you're facing a Bryant. So having not only getting that win to get you there, but getting that win to have the confidence that you can go and beat a team like a Bryant, a Central Connecticut, an LIU. And I think that gives you confidence the rest of the conference season, the rest of the regular season, to go and get those big wins and to continue to build momentum.
So Robert Morris has 9 games left in conference play. Wait, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 9 games left in conference play. You figure they probably have to go, I'd say 7-2.
I 100% agree. 7-2 has to be the number.
There was, it's funny, we're talking about, just to get into the tournament, they got into the tournament last year with 6 losses in the conference. I was working the LAU Brooklyn game for Robert Morris this weekend, and there was a guy who was sitting behind us from LAU Brooklyn. They went 3-1, 3-1 against St. Francis, which was a nail biter for them. And they, of course, had LAU Brooklyn or Robert Morris 3-1. And there was a guy, he was wearing an LAU Brooklyn shirt. He was some dad or something for them.
I like where this is going.
Well, he was talking to a different fan though, and he's like, "Man, these are tough. These are nerve wracking." And he was saying it's especially difficult when you play teams that are desperate, is the word that he used. Mm-hmm. And he said, they're done. He pointed to the front. And first off, there's like Robert Morris players just standing right there taking the net down. And he's like, they're done. They're out of the conference. And I was like, I don't know about that. I mean, of course, they've lost four games. You know, they lost six last year and snuck their way in as a four seed.
Yeah.
I don't think they're necessarily done.
I don't think so either. And if you look back at, again, I was there when they went to the tournament in 2015, so I'm going to talk about it again. They won six in a row to end the season.
Yeah.
Because they were in a very similar position where they weren't winning games, and all of a sudden, it just clicked. And that's the thing you have to realize, one, about volleyball in general, but also the NEC. There's a lot of parity in this conference.
Definitely.
And you're fighting for a four spot. You're not fighting for a number one spot. Yeah. You think Robert – I believe Robert Morris does not – I mean, they have a very, very slim chance of even winning the NEC. But, again, that's not what matters. It's making the tournament at the end of the day is all that matters. And Robert Morris has the talent on this team. You look at players like Granger, Londot, Lord, Brown, Ali Yurkovich. I can keep going on all these really talented players. I'm confident in most of the players that make the court for Robert Morris that they can all come and contribute in some significant way. Once Dale Starr kind of figures out who those players are and puts them in the right situations, and I think that's part of it is just kind of figuring it out with all these bodies. I do. I think Robert Morris is one of the better teams in the NEC. I think that they, in my opinion, they are that fourth best team. I think that right now you have LIU, you have CCSU, and you have Bryant. They've proven that they are the best three teams. Lock that in. But I think Robert Morris is that fourth best team, and I don't care what the standings say. I would put them as a solid four spot, and I'd put them as a team that could also be that four seed that goes and wins the NEC tournament. I think that they're that talented.
Yeah, I mean, I was mentioning before, it was actually 3-2 that they defeated St. Francis PA on Friday, and there is a lot of parity. I think that I think volleyball is something that you can definitely have a lot more parity in than some other sports. I remember 2 years ago, St. Francis PA, they were bottom of the conference. I think it was them and FDU. They had one win. I remember looking at the stats and thinking, oh, they probably beat FDU. Or sorry, they had three wins. Yeah. I was thinking, okay, they beat FDU twice. Who else did they beat? Mm-hmm. And I was looking, it was either LIU Brooklyn or Bryant or somebody at the top. They beat a two seed and they were a seven. And I was like, this is their one victory was against a two seed. It's I mean, it doesn't 99 times out of 100, it's not like that. But
yeah,
any given Friday or Saturday,
exactly. You hit it spot on, Spencer Witt. That it is. And sometimes there's a lot of things that go your way. Sometimes there's a lot of things that don't go your way. But usually, again, in that pile of that mess, eventually it comes out with the right team. That's why that conference season is so long. That's why 15 matches are played in that conference season. Or 16 matches, I believe. Sorry, I got that wrong.
I believe it's 16. Yeah. Should be 16.
16. But yeah, I mean, that's why there's that many. That's why you play each team twice, is because that's the only way you're going to really almost
there's eight teams in the conference, so you wouldn't play
14
yourself twice. Yeah, 14 games.
That was my mistake.
Yeah, eight and six is four. Yeah, that makes sense.
We're doing math here, guys.
Have I mentioned it on the broadcast yet? I'm an accounting major.
We're going to keep mentioning it.
Not good at math. But I am an accounting major.
It's fine. You know, I'm a business major, and I don't even want to talk about it. It's just bad.
Are you done with all your business classes?
Well, I'm in marketing classes now. I got that sport management degree technically.
Technically.
I don't have the paper yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be fine. Yeah. I got it.
That's good.
No sweat.
How many classes do you have this semester?
Four. My voice just cracked,
Oh,
too.
Boy.
Wow. Oh, that's rough.
How many classes do you have?
Four. I was like mid-cough. Why I was like going to clear my throat, yeah. And I kept talking. You know, we're going to move on. We're moving on. What are we talking about now? You guide me on this journey.
I don't even want to. I'm more pulling you now. It seems like you just want to go.
I flash back like middle school right there when you're hitting puberty and like your voice cracks and like you're talking to the girl you like and she makes fun of you. That happened to me a couple
that
times.
Sounds
I'm
way
not gonna
too
lie.
Close to home. I'm sorry.
I did not like middle school. I don't know if anyone liked middle school, but I hated middle school.
I didn't hate middle school, but I didn't like it. If
yeah,
that makes sense.
No, not fun. I got a car, and that was cool. Junior and senior year of high school were the best.
Junior and senior year were the best years of high school.
You also were like, I'm going to college. Like, oh, like forget all this other stuff.
Yeah. Like, I don't care about this. I'm not going to do my homework, especially senior year.
I still don't do my homework here.
I've had a test every day this week except yesterday.
Hey, but you still made it in for the show, and that's, you know.
I did. I have to go back and study for taxes after this.
Oh, man. Well, don't invite me. I don't want to go.
Yeah. So we have 5 minutes left. Last 5 minutes here.
All right. Well, I want to talk about Whitney Brown.
Okay.
Because Whitney Brown is second in the NEC in average assists per set. She averages 8.35, and she's only behind Sarah Chizik, I think is how you pronounce her name, for Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about someone who's really filled a role very well. I forget who was it that was in her spot last year.
Oh, my goodness. This name's going to bother me.
It wasn't Frakes, right?
Yeah, no, it was Brianna Frakes.
It was Brianna Frakes. I thought it was Frakes. All right. It was, yeah. So Brianna Frakes, and Brianna Frakes not only was great in that position, but was also just a leader on that team.
Yeah, I mean, definitely.
She was a voice. And I feel like Whitney Brown has filled that role very well. And that's exciting, especially as a sophomore, that she's one of the best setters in the entire country, or not in the country, sorry, in the entire conference. I got a little ahead of myself there. But, I mean, as a sophomore, and she can continue to fill that role, as Dale Starr, it's going to be nice to know for the next 3 years that you have your person. And, yeah, I mean, I want to keep mentioning her as someone who I know, again, it's easy to talk about Taylor Lord, it's easy to talk about Emma Granger, Allison Londot, you know, those hitters that provide the offense, the exciting part. But you can't have a lot of that without players like Whitney Brown that are setting up those players like Granger and Londot and Lord. And I think she's done a phenomenal job.
And that shows, I think, a lot for Robert Morris just all around. I mean, well, first off, going back, I believe Whitney Brown's actually a sophomore this year.
So yeah.
She did play a little bit last year. I remember her playing, I don't remember which game it was, but it was one of the non-conference games. I think it was against either FDU or St. Francis Brooklyn, one of those games. But she looked pretty good there as well. And then this year as well, it shows that the big thing in volleyball is that a setter can't set the ball if they don't get the ball, if the ball's not getting got to her.
Yeah.
With the proper grammar. If they don't get the ball to her.
Yeah.
And that shows for passing for Robert Morris, especially on things like serves and some digs, that if Brown is able to get to the ball because these crisp passes, that sets up Robert Morris offensively. So it's really an all-around that shows why as Brittany Brown is one of the top setters.
And that's just impressive in general. And this just aids the argument, again, of why I believe Robert Morris is a top team in this conference, is you have so many different combinations of players getting in there at different times, but yet the passing stays the same. Because that's typically what you would see fall off when you're switching players, and why you aren't typically able to make those moves is because the chemistry is not the same. But the passing doesn't seem phased by it. You're right. If Whitney Brown continues to contribute in that level, that's you know, showing off this Robert Morris team in general and how great they are as a whole.
So that's something I think we'll look forward to for Robert Morris. Like we said, last 2 minutes.
So I say let's give our predictions.
Okay.
Do we want to give our thoughts
on that? Yeah.
I'll let you go first, Spencer.
I will go first. So just for this weekend, right?
Yep.
At FDU, at Sacred Heart, at FDU, it's going to be 3-0, I think, for Robert Morris.
First sweep.
They have to.
Yeah.
I think they don't necessarily have to. Like, they could win 3-1,
but again, 3-2, it's a confidence thing.
But it just seems like, we talked about it with St. Francis Brooklyn. Like, you have to go out and play well. They did. I think they will here against FDU. And then Sacred Heart, I'm going to say they go 5 and win in 5.
You know, we're on the same wavelength here because that's exactly what I'm going to say. I'm saying 3-0 FDU and 3-2 over Sacred Heart. I think, you know, I'd say Sacred Heart's at that level that Robert Morris is right now. I do believe Robert Morris is better, and that's why I believe that they're going to win. But I think that that's going to be one. And that is the statement. That's the confidence right there, is you go and you win that tight five-set conference match. That's huge. So that's all I have to say.
So Robert Morris, when they played FD or Sacred Heart last year, they won 3-0, and then they won 3-2 on the road last year. So my guess is that they're going to play 3-2 again on the road. So that will be it. So that's everything for this broadcast.
Here, I'll play some more than a feeling to close this out.
Again, 100 100 downloads, and what are we singing?
There was Hips Don't Lie.
Yep.
There was Sexy Back or Country Roads.
I am honestly excited for that. I really hope we do get 100
downloads.
I know.
And then we'll have the poll and everything. All right, guys, 100 downloads. You know the drill. Even if you only listen to like the first 5 minutes of me and Spencer talking about anything but volleyball,
Just download. A download counts, no matter how much you listen to it.
Exactly. So we appreciate that, and we thank you here at The Dig.
All right, thank you, Sam Anthony. I'm Spencer Witt here on episode 2 of The Dig on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.